broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. There's so many fantastic tournaments going on across this beautiful planet. It's difficult to keep up with everybody, but the Senior Tour, just playing amazing golf. And we've got the ladies in their fourth major championship. The final one will be the British Open. And the, you know, the Senior Open Championship, that's happening in the UK. 3M Open is going on. We just have so much happening in the world of golf. There's cheating. Somebody admitted to cheating. Hello. That just floored me. You know, I'm glad they admitted it, because apparently it's not that uncommon when you talk to some of the Champions Tour guys. Anyway, let's move on, Danielle. Breezy, windward, partly sunny skies today. Scattered showers in the morning, isolated showers in the afternoon. On the leeward side, mostly sunny. The high today, 91 degrees. Say thank you, easterly winds, 15 to 25 miles per hour. The breezy conditions continue. Cloudier, showerier evening coming up. And the low tonight between 72 and 77, wherever you happen to be. We've got some tea times for you. At Volcano, it's 56 degrees if you like to cool off. There's a 9:20 and an 8:30. Makalei has a 9:36, 10:28. The electricians are out on the course. If you're looking for one, that's where to go. Poipu, Southside Men's Club. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. There's an 11:20 and a 12:30 if you'd like to play a round of golf there. Hawaii Kai has a 10:36. Turtle Bay has a 10:16. Royal Wine Country Club. Yes, it's like Jurassic Park in the back. There's a 10 o'clock. Wailea Gold, 10:40. Emerald, 10:30. Blue, 10:40. Maui Nui, the bump and run guys, they're out. 9:16. Oh, and I forgot, the Lost Boys. That's because they're lost. The Lost Boys are playing at Turtle Bay. The Palmer course is so beautiful. It is really a gorgeous course. And I've got to say, this is the biggest news of all, including all the tournaments that are being played, okay? The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association First Tee Hawaii Girls Team won the 2023 Girls Juniors America's Cup. That's right. Yes, just a 12-stroke margin of victory over Southern California. Kara Kaneshiro from HSJGA First Tee Team captured individual medalist honors with a 54-hole score of 218 for a 2-stroke margin of victory. Rounding out the HSJGA First Tee Team were Rhea Nakao, Kate Nakaoka, and Teal Matsueda. Yes, women. Yeah, rule. The remaining top five teams were Washington, Mexico, and San Diego. I am so excited for Hawaii State Junior Golf, First Tee Hawaii, putting together this. We've been going to these events for so long, and we are now victorious. It's awesome. Allison Corpuz, yes. All right. Got a great show for you today. Jeff Shackelford's going to kick it off for us. Wes Wailehua is in, excited to have the golf industry conference again. Kyle Kunioka, he's with us, the head professional, Mid-Pacific Country Club, director of golf. Leif Channing Smith, you know what? We're going to have another Maui Open, and that's coming up. And Ron Syrak wraps up the show. We'll talk Evian after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. CyPact Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring him right into the clubhouse. Jeff Shackelford, an independent voice in the world of golf. Quadrilateral is his newsletter. He was senior writer Golf Week, contributor Golf Channel. He's an author and, you know, remember, Golf Architecture for Normal People is his latest book. He's got such terrific books. His non-golf book, I've just got to read this one, His Visits with Racing Legend Zenyatta, a beautiful thoroughbred Shackelford captured in beautiful photographs. I have to see that too. But other books include The Future of Golf, How Golf Lost Its Way, and How to Get It Back. Jeff, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. Good to be back, as always.
And you know, that The Future of Golf, How Golf Lost Its Way, and How to Get It Back sounds like right now. Were you like having some sort of premonition?
Well, it is 20 years old, the self-published version, and yeah, it's kind of crazy now to think where we are. And I wrote all that ranting and raving 20 years ago, and we're dealing with all these situations now that have just been going on. And I think, at least on the distance topic, some things are sort of coming to a head, but I'm not totally confident in saying that either.
Yeah, exactly. It's the memo comes out from the PGA Tour, and much ado is made about the fact that there are typos in it. You know, it's like, what is going on this planet in the PGA Tour world with the live question? And, you know, some people in live are saying, no, we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to do it our way. And it's just getting really crazy. But before we get into a little bit more on that, I'd really like to joyously talk about you were at the Open and one of my favorite tournaments of the year. I just love it. I love playing in the UK. I love the golf courses there. It seems to just really demand of everyone. They're older, you know, it's more earth. You can't really figure out what the architect was planning because doesn't the earth, you're an architect, you're a golf course architect, does the earth shift over the hundreds of years that it's played on?
Not a lot, a little bit, but the dunes there are kind of grown over now, so they don't really change much. And I think that's part of the joy of links golf, that they're sort of sealed in place, minus whatever human beings do to them.
Okay. All right. So what was it like being on site, being there in the midst of all of it? I mean, you wrote, huge, happy crowds made for a festive setting Friday, and I jotted notes so I could wax about the joys of seeing world golfers come together. I love that sentence.
Well, it was a little tongue-in-cheek. I think that was I wrote when we were facing the inevitable Brian Harman victory. It didn't feel like he was going to blow it on Saturday night, and it was fairly depressing in the press center because you just kind of knew it wasn't going to be very close unless the wind really came up Sunday. And the writers want to, I think, like the fans, an exciting finish, and it was not. The early week, Danielle, the energy was fantastic. The sun was out. They had huge crowds. But credit to Brian Harman for playing so well. And it wasn't like he was lucky. He played really well Friday when the wind blew the most. And the wind just never quite happened there like it was predicted, and it's so vital to making that course interesting. Yeah. And he played his 65 on Friday, of course tied the course record at the time, but really in hindsight I think will go down as certainly one of the best rounds of the year and one of the best in the Open in a long time, because that was really where he sealed the victory. And then later in the day the wind just completely stopped, and and nobody could do what he did in that morning wave. So credit to Brian Harman.
Absolutely. No, I know, absolutely. But, you know, a lot of people said this was the most boring Open ever.
Well, it was pretty boring, and they did some data golf, looked at it just the last 5 years, and yeah, you just never felt like the way he was playing and kind of the way the other players were playing that anybody could really mount a charge. Jon Rahm, you know, 63 on Saturday,
yes.
Fantastic, but we know how hard it is to come back from a 60. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's just the truth that after a round like that, it's just extremely rare for somebody to come back and keep it going the next day. It just doesn't happen very often, and especially in a major championship. You know, it might happen on a soft course, but when it's and then Hoylake was a little softer than they like, but it's still set up like a major, very tough, a lot of tension, all that, very hard to replicate a 63. So it was. Yeah, it was boring.
Yeah, okay. It's, you know, watching it on television, that's the beauty, I guess, of, you know, not being there, because it wasn't, sure, I wanted there to be some competition. I wanted to be some, you know, some, oh, ooh, ah, but they were able to do it in a way that watching it, but I understand the ratings were really bad, too. So I guess I was one of the few.
Well, they were great, but they might have been worse, so you can look at it a lot of different ways. I mean, they still got a bigger audience than most tour events, and for a Sunday morning, a lot of people love tuning into the Open and seeing it. And so it was all in all a successful week for everybody, and that it was. They finished on Sunday. They had a lot of people. Everybody had a good time. It worked very well. The course really, you know, it's a subtle course. And it's one that I got to appreciate this time. Last time when Rory won, it rained a lot, and so it was hard to really. Anyway, it had rained a lot all spring. So this year it came into the tournament a little firmer, and I thought it played beautifully.
Well, I thought it. You know, when Tiger Woods won there, I was totally impressed with that golf course and his play.
Yeah, and that was an epic year, and I got to see this year, the Sunday before the wind was blowing, why Tiger loved that place so much, even when it's not as firm, as dried and baked out as it was that year. It's one of those courses, just the wind shifts a little bit, and it just drastically changes your shots into the holes and off the tees, and I it's a little different than the other links that way that they play in the Open, so... I think they'll be back there in 7 or 8 years would be my guess.
Okay. Now, you also write about Scotland's Richie Ramsay. You say he did a better job of explaining why the Open and gatherings in different parts of the world take on such a special feel. What did he say?
Well, he was asked about the crowds. It was a random little session after the round. He's become a just a lovely spokesman for the game. He loves course design, and he was kind of a hothead when he turned pro, and he's really become a very calm, measured thinker. And I think it was just a little message. He wasn't going out of his way, but it certainly could be interpreted. He was, you know, in the current state of affairs in the game, that, you know, when you're at the Open, you just see people from all over the world, players from all over the world, fans from all over the world. And it has this celebratory atmosphere without being over the top. And it's just a reminder that the game is played all over the world, and that when you have an open event where people can qualify and you have a cut and it's done the way it's always been done, there are reasons for that. And there are good reasons and great reasons. And it's a special atmosphere there that the other majors don't quite, and probably unfair. It's unfair to pick on them. They probably can't get that atmosphere because they're based here and they have different qualification standards and different histories. But the Open, it brings the world together, and you really feel that and see that in the field. And it's something that the sport really needs to be aware of, because it's infectious and you feel it and you feel good about the game. You don't feel good about the sport listening to all this drivel about playing opportunities and ranking points and tip and all that crap. It's just garbage. And so the Open came along and served as a nice reminder, I thought.
Yeah, truly. Now, Brian Harman did say, you know, normally the crowds are a lot nicer. They did make it kind of hard for him, didn't they? Some people didn't want him to win.
Yeah, well, you have to remember he's competing against Tommy Fleetwood, who's not necessarily a local, but he's from close by, and he's from England, and so they're you're going to have a little of that. It does seem that in an interview after the Open, he opened up a little bit more about the rudeness level of some of the comments he heard.
Yes.
I did not hear much of that, so I'm not saying he's lying. I'm sure he did hear it. And it's disappointing, but you know, that was kind of what I expected when you have Fleetwood in the mix, and it just is it's kind of the nature there. And even the folks in England are sort of embarrassed by it a little bit.
Well,
they like to root for their own, but not to the point. They take pride in not being rude to another player.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and so you know, the rudeness was surprising, you know, but he smiled when he said that. He's a really nice guy.
Well, he has a claret jug, Danielle. That'll make you smile when you've won it and you've won $3 million. That he's laughing all the way to the bank and to the trophy case and all that. So good for him.
Can he take that anywhere he wants to go? Like if he wants to go out to a pub, as it were, a bar, sports bar, can he take his claret jug and like put it there on the counter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for the next year, he can travel the world with it. And, you know, there's some stories of some mishaps and things. I know Zach Johnson and I think Tom Lehman and few guys have shared some of their issues trying to get a repair made and other stuff. But, yeah, they have a beautiful case for it, and they get to go wherever they want. It's not the original. It's the player version. There's the originals in the R&A clubhouse, I believe. So there's essentially two prime claret jugs. And then there's a group of replicas that kind of are used for various displays and then there's some smaller ones that the clubs that host the Rota are on the Rota can purchase as well. But he has the player one, and it looks like it. You shine a flashlight down into it, and I'm not sure you really want to drink something out of it. There's some. It's not a good look down there.
It's one thing to drink out of it. It's another thing to clean it afterwards, right?
I mean, yeah, well, it's a small opening at the top, so I don't know how you do it. I asked Colin Morikawa, and he said, yeah, one of the first things he did, he got a flashlight and put it in there. I went, oh, no. So I don't know what they do to clean from it. But, yeah, I would not have wine or beer from it myself.
All right, right, right. So now once you know, wrapped everything up, where are you off to next?
I'm going back over for the Walker Cup at St. Andrews. I am going to go see Rome as well and see the Ryder Cup course. I'm not going to stay for the Ryder Cup. I'm going to watch that one on TV, but I am going to see the golf course. But more importantly, the Walker Cup is celebrating its 100th anniversary and will be played for the ninth time at the old course. And, you know, it's amateur golf, whatever that is now, and match play, and it'll be great. I don't know many of the players who will be in it, but it's the old course, and there's some fantastic history with that, the Walker Cup, and it's playing there and elsewhere, but especially there, some great old matches that we'll go down in golf history. I'm looking forward to kind of revisiting some of that in my coverage and as we build up to it. But I know we have two really good players for the United States who did not turn pro, so that's exciting. And we'll see what the Great Britain and Ireland team cooks up for the matches. I think they're going to try to get some some ringers, some old course ringers to try to hold off the mighty Americans.
Right on, right on. Well, that's the beauty of it, you know, when it's done without, you know, making verbal slanderous statements about somebody. The rivalry between the countries and doing it respectfully. Jeff Shackelford, where can we get your writing? Where can we? Because you write so well. You are really, you know, you are gifted.
Oh, well, that's a little strong, Danielle.
No, it's
but
not.
I appreciate it. just Google Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F, and golf, and my website will come up. And the newsletter is the Quadrilateral. It's on Substack, and it's free, and there's a paid option as well. But that's the best way to see my writing these days. And I also put it on the blog, and I pop up in Links Magazine as well. So I'm still out there on the printed world, which I love. I'm holding out. I love my magazine still. I know I'm a dinosaur.
No, you're not. I think people like to hold things like that. It's like people like to hold books.
Especially at the beach, Danielle. Especially at the beach. I can drop it. I can get sand in it, and nothing happens. My iPad, I can't see the screen. I get some sand in it, and there goes a $700 device.
I hadn't even thought about taking my computer-type device to the beach.
No, bad idea.
Jeff Shackelford, always wonderful to talk with you. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse where we are. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back, talk with the CEO at our wonderful Aloha Section PGA, and that is none other than Wes Wailihua. And we'll be back with Wes after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Aloha Power Equipment's end of July sale is on now. Honda generators for your job site or your home when the power fails during a heat wave. Yeah, that can happen. Riding mowers, large, medium, or small, in stock. Turn those big jobs into a job well done. Displayed in our air-conditioned Evile showroom, not out in the elements. Trade up. Aloha Power takes trade-ins. We ship off-island. Weed whackers, mowers, blowers, chainsaws. It's all on sale. New shipments arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and, of course, in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned. Heat up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Wes Wailihua, Executive Director, CEO, PGA of America, the Aloha Section PGA, President, Hawaii Golf Alliance, CMA, President of the Board of Directors, Aloha State Chapter, Head Program Coordinator, Kamehameha Schools Golf Team, and President CEO, Hawaii Aviation. Welcome into the clubhouse, Wes.
Aloha, Dan. Good morning.
I don't know how you do it all. I mean, you're amazing. Now, this is really exciting because every Hawaii Golf Industry Conference I've been to has been so enlightening and insightful. And the people that you bring in to talk about different aspects of the game and how they impact us here and the people who come here and just golf in general, it's been truly captivating. I've really enjoyed my time. So when was the last time we had a golf industry conference?
Well, the last conference was in 2019, Danielle. And, you know, the conference is really focused around the Hawaii golf industry in Hawaii. And that's kind of what we want to be the driving factor for. And, you know, especially coming off of COVID and golf ramping back up and player numbers up and participation and growth, it's really a positive thing. And one of the things that we always try to do is bring some clear perspective, not just to the professionals that work in the industry, but the owners, the facility operators, as well as the players that attend the conference. And in this year's conference, we're really focused around our economic impact study. We've done a few before. The first one actually was done in 1998 by the Hawaii Tourism Authority in partnership with them to really identify the key markets and stakeholders around the industry that really help support it. And that includes our hoteliers and travel and airlift and everybody really connected to tourism and golf, since that's a huge part of our economy in Hawaii. We did another one in 2008. And then in 2019, we tried to do another one, but we really weren't successful. And I don't think the data really reflected our industry. So this last year, we hired a consulting firm to go out and remarket the economic impact report. And that's really what the meat will be for the conference this year.
Excellent. Now, you usually bring in speakers, too. Do you have somebody coming in?
We do. And one of the problems with this conference and what, you know, we've worked on, Greg Nichols, as you know, from Ko'olina, he has worked alongside with me as the chair of this event. We really wanted to wait and see what the report turns out in order to select the appropriate industry leaders and experts to really add to the data to add content. And what I mean by that is some of the things that we're finding out early on in the collecting of the data as far as the financial data, the rounds, who plays from the facilities, what we realized is we as an industry should also be polling and soliciting the players in our market. And one of those two dynamics, obviously, is our kamaaina, our current residents of the state of Hawaii, who really are there and are the backbone of helping support the rounds in our state at those facilities or taking lessons or buying merchandise and product. But in addition to that, one of the other key components is working with airlift, the airlines, the hotels, and really focusing on the non-resident traveler to Hawaii, and what they look for and what's important to them. And I think that's one of the key things about this conference that's really impactful is really providing data from both sides, from the stakeholders that run our facilities, you know, on where we are economically in the market and how it impacts state. And when when we talk about that, we're talking about like the taxes, the land taxes, the water usage, everything that's really, really powerful to making the facility successful. But that doesn't work without having the component of the player, how often they play, what's important to them, are tee boxes important, is pace of play important, is cost of the round important. You know, all these little pieces that really go into making our industry strong and healthy across the state from Lehui to Hilo.
Right on. Yes. So you want to get somebody to come and talk once you've got a better understanding. So when is the conference?
The conference is actually scheduled for September 13th. It's a Wednesday. It'll be at the Kahala Hotel from about 7:30 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. We are just actually finalizing a couple of great speakers that I believe the industry will really gravitate towards. We plan on having, obviously, the highlight of the conference will be the economic impact report. And for some people, the numbers may be a little boring, but I will tell you that the data that will be shared with the industry will be very impactful to how the industry moves forward for the next 10 years. In addition to that, we are in the process of completing a very high-level industry expert panel, and that includes people from aviation, hotel, banking, consultants from travel and leisure, I mean, as well as a few key leadership people from the PGA of America, as well as experts that are in the industry that have seen things from not just in Hawaii, but of course around the world, that Hawaii could use to prop up the industry even more by supporting the players, the juniors, and the people that work in our industry.
Right on. Oh, gosh, you know, speaking of the juniors, you know, we just won on the mainland, and it was so rewarding to read, you know, that the HSJGA First Tee Hawaii team, girls team, beat Southern California, beat Washington, beat Mexico, beat San Diego. You know, we've gone to these tournaments for so long, and now we are coming out victorious. It just shows the dedication and the drive and all the people in the game who are supporting junior golfers.
Yep. And that's one of the important things about this conference. You know, Anna Umemura, I'm sure Anna Murata and I actually played golf together at Punahou. So for her to captain that team, she's played on the team. I think it's been great. Allison's win this summer has been great. We had two kids from Hawaii win the National Drive Chip and Putt Championship at Augusta this year, both from Hawaii. A lot of that ties back down to the grassroots level and what happens at each of the island junior associations as well as the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And none of that, Danielle, would be possible without the facilities, the PGA professionals, the people that teach, the people that really help them elevate their game. And that's what the conference is based around, is supporting all aspects and all types of players.
Yeah, exactly. And Seth Waugh, didn't he come in to one of the conferences not too long ago?
He did, and actually he's on one of our lists, as well as Craig Kessler, who's our new COO, who used to be formerly with Topgolf. I knew Craig when he was here. We were talking about the Topgolf, of course, at Alawai. You know, so now having him as our COO, I think that's important. He brings a fresh perspective. A lot of the challenges around getting them here, obviously, is with Ryder Cup, which is 2 weeks later, which is another great way to kind of close out summer. So, you know, all these things are going on in the industry, and that's why, you know, in our discussion with Greg and I, we felt it was imperative to really kind of take a dive in the impact study to really share with people what golf does at all aspects and all levels to all the stakeholders that contribute to it.
Yes, and it also is important. So many people criticize the use of water, the use of pesticides, and so much of that has changed within the industry. The superintendents of golf are so mindful of their use of water, of their use of controlling the, you know, unwanted elements on a golf course, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that we're up to speed in the general population as to how careful superintendents are.
I agree 100%, and it's all about perspective, you know, and you know, the section undertakes events like this as part of our responsibility and leadership and financial obligation to the industry. And we take all these events like the Golf Industry Conference, our award ceremony with Ho'olaulea. You know, I sit on the water usage board here on Oahu and, you know, the impact study and everything else and all these things that kind of tie into our industry. And a lot of it is just about awareness and self-education. And when it comes to water usage, and that's one of the dynamics that we will be talking about in the conference is our aina, our land, and the way we care for it, and how important it is as a landholder with golf and how it impacts our communities. So all these things tie into golf and things that we are aware of that we want to share with not just facility leaders, but also leadership within the state, within the counties, so they understand what our industry does to play our part for caring for Hawaii.
Excellent. And now, could anyone go to the conference?
Anyone's welcome to come to the conference. We will be sending out more information, I believe, the first week in August. Hopefully by then everything will be finalized and we can share our star lineup of speakers with you. I definitely will be sharing that with you, Danielle, and we look forward to having you at the conference if you can make it, as always. And a lot of the information can be found on aspga.com.
aspga.com. That's Aloha Section, pga.com. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Absolutely. It's a very exciting time to see after the pandemic for us to be able to continue to grow and grow the game and enjoy the game and educate people about the game of golf. So I thank you very much. With the Ryder Cup, and I was thinking, PGA of America, Ryder Cup, you know, and all this stuff going on. Do you get called to assist in some of the Ryder Cup sort of strategizing?
Not with the strategizing, Danielle, but, you know, as the 41 executive directors across the United States managing the business for the PGA of America, we are involved. We are there to help support sponsorship and other opportunities, and more importantly, educating the sponsors and the patrons about how golf is played around the world, especially across the United States, and what our 28,000 PGA professionals do every single day to help grow the game of golf and make it enjoyable for players.
Yeah, I have a couple of those PGA of America members coming on. Kyle Kuniyoka is going to be on after you, and Leif Channing Smith is going to be on as well from Dunes at Maui Lani, where we're going to see a Maui Open again. It's so exciting to see the large events like the Maui Open that haven't been played in a while as getting the support to come back again. Do you see that healthiness within the industry developing further?
We do, Danielle, and that's, again, a huge part of the impact study. And to add to that, we'll be talking with you a little bit later about the return of the Hawaii State Open. It's been about 5 years, you know, since COVID, and we've had to lay off for a couple of years, but that will be returning to the calendar this December in 2023.
Fantastic. Wes Wailuhua is Executive Director, CEO, PGA of America, President, Hawaii Golf Alliance, and a whole lot more, including head program coordinator, Kamehameha Schools golf team. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Mahalo, Danielle.
Mahalo. Aloha. We're going to come back, and we'll be talking with Kyle Kuniyoka after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at cypac.com. That's CYPAC.com.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter? I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
This is really cool. I thought you might like to know. Some people might like to go. It's the 52nd Golf Historic Society National Convention, and it'll be held at the Embassy Suites in Coldstream, Lexington. Okay, the early bird hickory golf outing at Cherry Blossom Golf Course will be at noon. That's on Wednesday, October 11th. And in the room, there's room trading day every day during the conference. So, you know, people bring the stuff and they'd like to trade, and you bring your hickory and maybe you'd like theirs and you guys trade, whatever. On Thursday, October 12th, it's the first educational session from 9 to 10. It's only an hour, you see. So the GHS National Golf Tournament, they've got multiple divisions. Hickory, Classics and Modern, both members and guests. It's at the Gay Brewers Picadome Golf Course. It's a shotgun at noon. All of this sounds so much fun. The 19th hole barbecue and awards presentation, so there's awards too. The course was designed, by the way, by Tom Bedelow, and his grandson will be on hand for discussion, as will Gay Brewer's caddy. And LCC is the site of, oh, yes, murder of the celebrated golfer Miss Marion Miley. The story of the murder and actual crime will be revealed at the party by author Beverly Bell. Non-golfers are welcome. And on Friday, October 13th, morning general membership meeting, followed by four educational sessions, and then a cocktail party, an annual banquet. And the annual trade show is on Saturday, October 14th. So if you just want to go for the trade show, you can just go in Saturday, October 14th. Bring your classic clubs, they say. Any items for show and tell? Top vendors have committed to attend the trade show. That's the GHS National Convention. So get in touch with us on our website, radiogolfclub.com. You can send us a message saying, hey, I'd like to know more about how to be there in October. Sounds like fun, you know, something that, see the history. I'm all for it. All right, and now a couple of things. We're going to have a hot day, 91, so please hydrate, and please put on the sunscreen if you're going to go out and play a round of golf. You've got some winds to cool you off and make your game a little bit more challenging. Easterlies, 15 to 25 miles per hour. There's a 1028 at Makalei if you'd like to get out there. Poipu has a 1230. We've also got Hawaii Kai 1036. And the Lost Boys are playing Turtle Bay. Find them if you can. 10:16 and 11:30 if you'd like to play around there. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, they have a 10:48. There's also on the Emerald Course a 9:50 and a 10:30. Bump and Run, they're out at Maui Nui, and there's a 9:18 for you there. So we're going to take another quick break and come back, and that's when we'll have Kyle Kunioka on PGA Mid-Pacific Country Club after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
All right, it's almost the end of July, and Aloha Power's end of July sale is on now. Honda generators for your job site or your home when the power fails during the heat wave. Riding mowers, whether large, medium, or small, is something you want, all in stock. Turn those big jobs into a job very well done. Displayed in our air-conditioned Evile showroom. Trade up. Aloha Power Equipment takes trade-ins. We ship off-island. Weed whackers, mowers, blowers, chainsaws, all on sale. Aloha Power Equipment, new shipments arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. That's Aloha Power Equipment.
Yeah. Hoipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Hoipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay on the Garden Isle. Here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Kyle Kuniyoka, PGA, Mid-Pacific Country Club. Golf Digest, best young teachers in America. Golf Digest, the best teachers in your state. Kyle, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Did you start playing this game at the age of three?
I did. It's been a little while.
Who introduced you to the game?
You know, it was my parents, my dad and my mom. They were both avid players when I was young, especially my dad, more on the recreational side, but I would kind of follow dad's coattail to the golf course and to the driving range, and that's how it all started for me.
Okay, so it wasn't like a little ball in the living room that you just were to hit around. It was like on the range.
It was both. I do have video of me as a kid in the backyard in my diapers swinging around. And I think I said my first swear word in my backyard swinging a golf club. So.
It brings the best out in us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's truly incredible. But you also, I mean, it wasn't your only sport. You played football, baseball, basketball, volleyball.
I played everything under the sun almost. A ball, you know, sports were big in our family. I have a few younger brothers, and we were playing everything.
Wow.
So I played everything.
Wow. And would you recommend that if, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you've got to commit yourself to one sport. Is it best to, you know, not to just do one sport?
You know, I think my opinion about that has changed over time. There was a period where I thought maybe focusing on a single sport was the best, but I do think getting involved in other sports, learning some of their disciplines, is a great way, even if your goal is to focus on a sport like golf. I think the other sports give you balance, it teaches you other skills, it helps you increase the way you use your body. So I do think that getting involved in other sports is a great thing to do, even though your focus might be golf.
Yeah, that may, you know, the more you know what your body can do, the better you are at playing the game, which is so stationary in a lot of ways. You know, you start stopped.
I agree 100%.
Which is so, you know, it's a lot of people like, God, you know, I can throw, I can catch, I can throw, I can do this, I got great aim, like I did, but if I put a club in my hand, I can't do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful. Now, you, when you're putting together the Mid-Pac Open, and it was truly successful. I mean, every year it's fabulous because your members just come together to make it fabulous.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, it is the Mid-Pac Open first and foremost, and you know, our membership is so gracious in first wanting to have the event and then supporting the event. And I think that's one of the reasons why this event is such a great event for the state and for everybody who participates.
Yeah, and it's for all levels of golf. It's not, well, not all levels. You know, I'm thinking a little bit of Jenny Kay crept into my thinking. So, you know, ladies, if you're not great at the game, but you'd like to see what competition's all about, the Jenny Kay has probably a flight for you. And it doesn't matter how old you are, too. That's, you know, that really is the beauty of this game. I think there was an 82-year-old, and she was playing. Not that that's old. You know, I'm sure if you're 91 and you can still hit a ball, you can be out there and having a great time.
Yes.
So let's just focus a little bit about you're you know, are you the director of golf now? I keep.
So I'm the head golf professional.
You are the head. Yeah, you're the head golf professional. Okay, I've often made you the director of golf, so I thought I'd just get it right out there. So as the head professional, you teach, and and can people who don't have a membership at MidPac take a lesson with you?
Preferably, it would be Preferably, it would be members or guests of members. Okay. However, if there is interest, you know, anybody could call the golf shop and you could see how we could work that out for them.
Right on, No, it's because you're on that, you know, that side, which is, you know, the windward side. Then people you know, traveling sometimes they say, oh, you know, I don't want to go all the way to town or whatever.
Sure.
So you're so close to home. So how do you, some of the things, getting started in the game.
Uh-huh.
What do you recommend?
I do recommend, you know, getting at least a few simple setup lessons to kind of get you in the right way. You know, whoever it is, anybody, there are several excellent instructors throughout the state. But I think having a few lessons to start off will help put the right foot forward and give you a good outline of what the fundamentals are, you know, as you progress forward. It was great during COVID where we've got so many new players to the game. And I think a lot of people took that kind of a DIY approach to it. And, you know, now we're getting a lot of people who are trying to now take lessons, you know, after a few months in the game or even a year or two in the game. But I think the opposite approach might be a little better. Take your lessons ahead of time, you know, invest in yourself a little bit, and I don't think anybody will regret that. I think they'll have a better experience as they move forward.
Do you recommend somebody go out and buy, you know, an expensive set of clubs to start?
You know, I think a lot of manufacturers now provide different types of sets, you know, more affordable sets, complete box sets where you have driver to putter. So I think there's a lot of ways. So I wouldn't maybe go buy the top of the line, even though that might be what is being advertised. But I think that's also another thing you could work with an instructor. You know, talk with an instructor, talk about what your needs are, what your goals are. And I think having those in mind, an instructor can help you and place you in a set, you know, can help you get fitted or point you in the right direction with the right manufacturers and, you know, and help you in that area.
Yeah. So could I like get a driver, a pitching wedge, a 7-iron and a putter?
I think that's a great way to start. You know, I don't think you need a full bag to get started right away. It can be intimidating. The game is difficult and there's a lot of golf clubs in your bag. And understanding when and where to use them sometimes is difficult. So I think sometimes maybe more simple is better. So, you know, a few clubs, a driver, a mid-iron, you know, a short iron, a wedge, and a putter might be a good way to start as well.
Right on. I kind of like that, too. You know, rather than carrying a bunch of stuff and then having not knowing well what, then you just get comfortable in that this club will do that. Then you add clubs. So I can't really do what I want to do with this 7-iron anymore. I want to do something fancier, like go further.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. And so improving your game. Let's say you've gotten past just getting started. You've learned how to hold the club. That is the hardest thing, you know.
It truly is. The simple parts of the game are the most difficult, but they're the most important.
See? Holding your club. You know where to stand, how what your stance is. That's another hard thing to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've gotten together with a professional, and they've helped you with your stance and with how to hold the club. And you keep going back and saying, am I doing this right? I did that forever. Because it just doesn't feel okay. So now I want to break 100. And what kind of, how often do I need to go in to take a lesson to break 100?
You know, lessons are important. I often have conversations with our members, with friends, anybody who's interested in the game about topics similar to this. And to be real honest, lessons are important, but more important if you're looking to advance your level, whatever level that might be, it's the amount of time you're going to put into practicing. Oftentimes, even people who take lessons from me will take a lesson, and then the next time I see them, 2 weeks, a month, whatever it might be later, they haven't practiced, and then they want to continue to improve. So I like to emphasize the fact that if you can practice, you know, at least a few times a week, and it doesn't have to be long periods of time. The longer you can practice, the better. But the more often you can practice, I think you'll see more improvement in your game.
Okay, this is going to get really serious now, Kyle. You know, your parents tell you to go practice that piano or practice that whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and you're like, I don't want to practice. I don't want to. If practice sounds so work. How do we make practice fun?
I think involving things, one, practice areas that you're interested in. So if you like to hit the driver, which is always fun for most people, you know, use that as key components to bring you to the driving range to practice. You know, and then while you're there, even schedule out some time. You literally write it down on a calendar or mark it down in your phone that I'm going to put 5 minutes to short game and I'm going to put 5 minutes to putting. If you schedule it, if you write it down, it sort of holds ourselves accountable and responsible for that time. And you'll see yourself actually use that time in that area. For a lot of us, we say, you know, I'm here. I only got an hour. I used 45 minutes already to hit my driver. I'm going to just finish off the balls, and then I'm going to go home. But by actually scheduling it, writing it down, you go, oh, shoot, I need that extra 5 or 10 minutes that I scheduled out to go and practice the areas I don't want to. And that can kind of help motivate you a little bit more.
Yeah, the driver is certainly rewarding. It makes a big sound.
it sure does.
And you always should go far, assuming you hit it right, you know. And then it's otherwise it's very frustrating. So, you know, don't give up on those other clubs because there's something you're going to need. The driver is only one beginning of the, and you can't even start with it all the time. All right, I digress. Now, everybody on a golf course seems to be so singular. You know, they're on their own, like in little individual groups. Almost not, you know, it's difficult to connect. How does somebody who's getting into the game find people?
I'm happy that you kind of asked that. I do think the game has shifted a little bit. When I started as a kid, it was a lot more social. We would just show up to the golf course, and they would place you with different groups, and that's how I met a lot of the people that I still know today through the game. You know, I think it is a little more difficult. You know, I would seek out friends that are already playing the game, and that's some way that you could get in. If you don't have that avenue, you know, even an instructor or the local professionals at the club, you know, having a conversation with them or even the staff, there's always people that are looking to play with others. But it might be difficult to find them. So if you reach out to some of the people that are familiar with the course or the area, they might be able to help you out and point you in the direction of somebody that's looking or a group that's looking for additional players.
Right, right. And then there's always groups that are dedicated to the game. There's a women's group that is dedicated to the game. The amateurs, you know, the women's amateur groups, you can get in touch with the Hawaii State Women's Golf Association, and they can put you in touch with, or is there a men's equivalent?
Well, there's the Hawaii State Golf Association. Like you said, I think Hawaii is great. I think we have a lot of these organizations and groups that are around that are trying to facilitate and promote the game of golf. You know, there's also the PGA of America, which, you know, I'm a member. And, you know, you can reach out to PGA members throughout the state, and we're always willing to do anything we can to help and promote the game.
You guys are awesome. You really are. I always say, you know, take a lesson with the PGA, because it takes a lot of work to become a PGA, a lot of time, and you guys have to pass a test too, don't you?
There is quite a bit of work. There's written work, there's playing, skills tests. There's quite a bit of work that goes into becoming a PGA member.
What is it called? PAT?
Correct. Yeah, the PAT. That's usually the first hurdle, and oftentimes one of the biggest hurdles for a lot of PGA members.
Right. They have to play around. Well, how much golf do you have to play when you do the PAT?
So the PAT is usually 36 holes in one day, and then there's a target score depending on which golf course you're playing at. You have to shoot a certain score better in order to pass that test. So, it's a big test and a big step for a lot of people.
Exactly. And that's what you got to, when you get to play, learn from a PGA. They've gone through it all. They know what it's like. Sometimes you have to take the PAT the second time around, you know, after you go and hone your skills a little bit more as a professional golfer. Kyle Kunioka, PGA, head professional, Mid-Pacific Country Club, Golf Digest, best young teachers in America, and Golf Digest, the best teachers in your state. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun.
It is fun talking with you. You'll do it again with me, right? Of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime.
Aloha.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. We're coming back with Leif Channing Smith, Director of Golf Dunes at Maui Lani, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun? Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SciPac is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having SciPac watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at cypac.com. That's cypac.com.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair, mold remediation, asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, Leif Channing Smith, Director of Golf Dunes at Maui Lani. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. How's it going?
Good. It's going really good, and I'm excited because the Maui Open is happening, the 2023 Maui Open, and it's being contested at the Dunes at Maui Lani, one of my favorite golf courses in the state. You know, you've got an A flight, a super senior flight, a senior flight, a championship flight, all of these available. And when is this happening?
September 2nd and 3rd over Labor Day weekend. We moved it to give a lot of our mainland players and guys that, you know, from Hawaii that are pros playing out on some mini tours and some Corn Ferry guys, give them an extra day of travel coming back, and also try to not conflict with some of the other tournaments going on, like the Army Invitational and the Kauai Open, some of the other tournaments. We wanted to give a better weekend for travel that weekend, and so far it seems pretty good. We've got some great players signed up. You know, the championship flight's looking really strong, which is kind of what we were pushing, because we're increasing that purse a little bit this year, and hopefully going to have it doubled by next year, because we've got, like, Maui Toyota, like, best in the business, right? They're our biggest sponsor. They come through every single year. And then this year we had another really big sponsor, Brady Spangler and Guaranteed Rate. I mean, he's been the best in the mortgage business for about 5 or 6 years now. So he stepped up and helped us increase the purse and help us with operations of the tournament. And we're really excited, just super excited. Golf course is in immaculate shape. Our superintendent, Brian Calipoli, I mean, the staff, you should see the work we're doing. We got new cart paths going in, a lot of tree work's being done. The bunkers have been reshaped. The greens are in unbelievable shape. I mean, it's almost like walking into a brand-new golf course 20-some-odd years later.
Wow. Robin Nelson.
Pretty neat.
Didn't Robin Nelson design the course?
Yeah, Robin Nelson designed, which made a beautiful layout. And a lot of people probably don't realize this, but the way he shaped these greens. So if you've played this golf course a lot, which a lot of these guys who are coming in for this tournament have, like, you don't necessarily need to be sitting in the middle of the fairway to have a great shot looking at the green. For instance, like hole number 2, the fairway leads you to the right side, okay, the right side of the hole, which in actuality, you could just bomb a driver down the left side, be sitting in a rough, and you got way more green to work with. So it's kind of a tricky golf course, and if you've played here before, you know that. And then, and as we know, it's on Maui and maybe in Hawaii, it's one of the toughest and fairest tests of golf there is. But with our conditions being the way they are right now, we're very blessed over here, very blessed.
And it really is a dunes course. I mean, it really is.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing for a dunes course is that we don't have a traditional or a resort style 9 and 9, right, where you play 9 holes, you run by the clubhouse, you know, you hit the head or you get some snacks. Here,
right,
you go all the way out. Like, our number 10 hole is 3 miles from the clubhouse. And it meanders all through, you know, central Maui, and it's made into a sand dune. This whole golf course and neighborhood was made out of a big sand dune that was here.
Yeah.
We can grow some grass. Our superintendent's growing some really firm turf. You should see, man, tee boxes, fairways, everything is looking, it's looking really good.
Yeah, we've got to talk about this more. You know, the beauty of that Maui, that's an isthmus, right? So between the two sides of Maui. So that, I don't know, it rose up and the water went away, and then all of a sudden you've got this fabulous golf course. It's kind of like being in Europe.
Very, very special little, and it's like, it's not like the traditional courses on Maui, because it's, I mean, you play 1, 2, 3, and you're like, oh, this is a pretty easy golf course. You get the whole 4, and then you got to rethink how you're going to play this golf course, because, I mean, it's some tight fairways, small landing areas. And it becomes more of a target-style golf course, which you have to play the terrain, kind of keep it low. I mean, it's really set up for, like, ladies golfers, like the forward tee boxes and people who don't really bomb the golf ball. This is the type of course you want to play. If you're a bomber, you got to tone it back, and you got to hit some long irons off the tee and kind of really place your golf ball to make your way around this golf course without losing a dozen balls.
Strategy. So the format is 36 holes, stroke play, USGA, Aloha Section PGA, and the Dunes of Maui Lani Golf Course.
That's
local
it.
Rules apply. This is awesome. Championship flight, black tees, senior flight, green tees, super senior flight, white tees, and the A flight, white tees. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And how do we you know, sign up?
Yeah, dunes at MauiLani.com. There's a registration page there. You can stop by the pro shop, or you can email me, lsmith@MauiLani.com. and I can get you registered that way. We're about halfway there, and we just had a big article in the Maui News yesterday, and then we are a finalist for the Best of Maui Golf Courses. We're in the top two. We haven't found out yet. We find out on August 1st if, you know, we're the best, you know, voted best golf course on Maui. So a lot of cool things happening over here.
Yeah, a lot of cool things. It's Maui. Maui is cool.
Yeah, man. Hey, very blessed of this state to have such great golf, and it's the community of all the directors of golf, you know, everybody's just, it's really great being a part of this. I'm very fortunate.
You're going to be back on real soon. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Anytime. Excellent. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Absolutely. Leif Channing-Smith, Director of Golf Dunes at Maui Lani. This is the 2023 Maui Open, the Dunes at Maui Lani. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Hey, it's the end of July. Where did July go? It's the end of July sale. Aloha Power Equipment's end of July sale with Honda generators for your job site or your home when the power fails during, a heat wave. Riding mowers, large, medium, or small, in stock. Turn those big jobs into a job well done. Displayed in our air-conditioned Evile showroom. Trade up. Aloha Power takes trade-ins. We ship off island. Weed whackers, mowers, blowers, chainsaws, all on sale, and new shipments arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, it's actually happened. We've heard stories that's actually happened. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson. Welcome into the clubhouse.
You know, Danielle, you should just introduce me by saying Ron Cyrak, old guy. How about that?
He's covered 190 major tournaments on site and goodness knows how many off site. How's that? Old guy.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh my! This is great. The Evian is, Celine Boutier is 11 under with another round to play. I'm looking at Nasa Hataoka 8 under, Minji Lee, Brooke Henderson 7 under, Nelly Korda is back 6 under. She never went anywhere. I know Yuka Saso 6 under as well. A-Lim Kim and Allison Lee, 5 under. It's a terrific leaderboard and such strong numbers. Isn't the Evian usually a more difficult course to play?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating leaderboard because, first off, Boutier would be a French woman winning there would be really, really special for them. And Nasa Hataoka has the most wins of anybody on tour right now who has yet to win a major championship. And then of those names that you reeled off, right behind the two of them, Minji Lee, Brooke Henderson, Nelly Korda, Yuka Saso, A-Lim Kim, are all major champions. So it's lined up for a very, very special field. You know, that golf course, a lot depends on the weather. You can get it's in the foothills of the French Alps, overlooking Lake Geneva, and you can get winds and thunderstorms off there. They had a tough day for play on the second round, and was more scoreable today. So it'll all depend on what kind of weather they get tomorrow for how aggressively they can attack the golf course.
Yeah. Any idea? Have we heard what the forecast is? I haven't.
No, you know, and that's one of those parts of the country where the only forecast that matters is you stick your head out the window and you see what it's doing. Because, you know, when you're in the mountains and in the mountains overlooking a massive lake like Lake Geneva, Lac Leman, you can get anything happen there. And you get these like sort of microclimates that pop up all around. So, but it is a golf course where I thought coming in that it's a good fit for Brooke Henderson, who is the defending champion there, because she's an aggressive player, and it's a golf course that that lends itself to aggressive play.
Yeah, and just across the way is Switzerland. And do you remember when I was like thrilled to see a Swiss flag? There's Morgane Metro and Albane Valenzuela now, two Swiss contenders in this field. Very exciting.
Yeah, when I would go over to cover Avion, you'd always fly into Geneva, you know, and then do the ride from Geneva, about an hour and 15 minutes from Geneva to Avion.
It's spectacular.
Very special part of the world.
Yes, it is. Now, how about Nelly Korda? Did she have a shoulder injury? And I'm not sure.
Well, you know, last year she had the blood clots in her shoulder,
and
that sidelined her for a couple of months. And then she had some back issues this year, lower back issues. So she's been fighting both of those. But, you know, quite frankly, who would have guessed that going into the fourth major of the year, the top three players in the player of the year points would be Runa Yin, Alison Corpuz and Lilia Vu. You know, those are three players who were barely on anybody's radar screen at the beginning of the year, and they're the top three players. They've each won a major. They're the top three in player of the year points. But what's also happened there is we haven't seen a whole lot from Nelly Korda, from Jin Young Ko, from Lydia Ko, from Brooke Henderson. You know, we really haven't seen some of the big names play their best golf yet this year.
No, exactly why I was like, oh, look, Brooke Henderson. Oh, Nelly Korda, where's she been, you know? And it's still great because Alison Corpuz made the cut. Just talk a bit about after winning a major, then she played again. She came on really strong up at almost the top of the leaderboard. It must be exhausting. And then traveling to Europe.
You know, I got a chance to talk with her at Pebble Beach. Her agent's a good friend of mine I've known for a long time, and through him I got to spend some time with her. And she is a very, very impressive woman. And you know, the strength of her game. Everybody that I asked her agent, I asked her coach, I asked everybody around her, what's the strength of the game? And they all said the first word out of their mouth was her head. And, you know, you saw that in the Open. You know, she made sure she managed her way around the golf course brilliantly. She doesn't hit the golf ball very far, but she puts it in play and she minimizes her mistakes. And she makes sure that when she gets the ball in a bad place, that bogey's going to be the worst score she's going to get. She gets it back into play, then gets it on the green. And I thought she thought her way around Pebble Beach absolutely brilliantly, and was not rattled at all on the weekend and the pressure of playing in the final group of the U.S. Women's Open.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. I can't wait. She's going to be on the show soon. She gave me her schedule. She said, can we do this a little bit later? I'm like, of course.
Well, the first person I texted on Sunday, when actually I did it Saturday night, you know, which was trying to not bring the writer's jinx into it and starting to get ahead of yourself in the story. But I texted Mary B. Porter King, you know, to talk about. And then Allison was so good talking about the Hawaii Junior program, you know, and how important it was to her. She started competing when she was like 7, 8 years old. And you know, Mary B. just, you know, she kicked off all the names, you know, starting with Michelle Wee and ending with Allison Corpuz and a bunch of other people in the middle that the Hawaii State Junior program has produced out there. And for as Mary B. says, for a tiny state, they've done pretty darn good.
Yes, absolutely. And just, you know, we've gone to the, like, Junior America's Cup, Girls Junior America's Cup, right? Goodness knows how many years in a row. And now the HSJGA First Tee Hawaii Girls Team won the 2023 yep. Girls Juniors America's Cup today, you know, yesterday, over British Columbia. We beat, you know, Southern California. We beat Mexico. We beat San Diego. It's just for us having gone so many years in a row and to be victorious, it's just, it's so great to see, because what Mary B. created with the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, bringing together so many different entities in the game, kind of pulling the islands together, which isn't easy. You know, traveling is difficult. It's a feat. And she,
I think you're going to see Allison giving back to that program a lot, too, because she's very appreciative of what it's done for her. And as I said, she is so, you know, during the COVID year, she went to USC, graduated from USC. During COVID, when there were barely any tournaments out there, she went back to USC and got her master's degree in like global supply chain management, you know. And like her agent was telling me, this is great for us because, you know, trying to get endorsement deals for her, you know, corporations know that she can talk their language to their clients. And yeah. But the fact that she used that COVID year not to just sit around and do nothing, but to go back to school and get her master's shows you how motivated she is as a woman.
Spectacular. Absolutely. Rose Zhang, 2-under, tied 20. She had a lot of pressure on her to perform coming onto the big global professional stage. She's really handled herself very well as well.
Yeah, she had her one clunker was the last tournament she played, but I think the emotional gas tank was just on empty. Because you look at what she's gone through this year. She won the Augusta National Women's Amateur. She won the NCAA. She turned pro and wins her first tournament as a pro. And then her first two majors as a pro, she gets top 10 finishes. I sort of thought getting to Avion would recharge her batteries, because if there's any place that recharges your batteries, it is Avion. Believe me, it is. When I first went there in 20 years ago, 2003, the story that I wrote is the coolest stop on tour. Franck Rabou, who is the chairman of Danone, the parent company of Avion, and Jacques Bunger, the tournament director, from day one, their support for women's golf has been, they've always had a purse that was second only to the U.S. Women's Open as the largest purse on the LPGA. And what they do for the players, there's parties, there's soccer games where they bring in these famous soccer players, there's fireworks display, there's something every day. They really, really make the players feel special.
Wow.
They treat them the way the men are treated every week.
Yes, and they probably don't keep the purse over the other one just out of respect for... Yes.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, they always had that second highest purse. And then now that the PGA of America is involved with and the RNA is involved with the Women's Open, you know, those purses and the season ending CME group thing, those purses have all jumped up really much. But they're still, you know, it's still one of the biggest purses out there. And it is still there's no event where the amenities for the players is as great as it is at Avion.
Wonderful. We've come a long way, have we, since, you know, 20 years ago we started talking about the disparity between the men's and the women's tours?
Yeah, we've come a long way, but, you know, this is what's strange about this year. The LPGA is playing for $100 million in prize money this year for the first time ever. That's an enormous. 10 years ago, it was like $45 million. So that's a huge, more than doubled in prize money. But at the same time, you look at what the emergence of LIV Golf and all that money has done. Women coming into the year were probably playing for one-fifth the prize money that the men were playing for. As much as the women have made progress, they're now probably playing for one-tenth the prize money the men are playing for, because so much more money has gone into men's golf to try to fend off LIV.
You know, I know there's a lot to be said about LIV and the PGA Tour's response to LIV. Just, I mean, we've got 4 minutes, if that. Your thoughts on what's going on the PGA Tour vis-a-vis LIV Golf?
Well, I think, first off, the big picture is there's way more that we don't know than we do know. You know, we don't even know what next year is going to look like in men's golf. Do all three tours still exist, the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, and LIV Golf? We don't know the answer to that. We know that there's going to be this new entity, but we don't know its name. We know that the CEO is going to be Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour. But we also know that Yasser Al-Rumayyan is going to be the chairman of the board. And any corporation that I know, the chair hires and fires the CEO. So he's come out on top on this. So we don't really know. And I think there's a lot of legal battles still ahead here. LIV Golf was suing the PGA Tours for antitrust, saying you have an illegal monopoly. Well, if the PGA Tour was an illegal monopoly, they're saying, how can you merge the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, and LIV Golf and not have that even be a worse monopoly?
Exactly.
You know?
So I
just think there's a lot of pieces that we don't know the answer to yet, and I think there's a long way to go until this is completely, totally worked out.
Well, and then the other thing that's really on my mind is, we pride ourselves on teaching children the rules of life through the game of golf. And yet, you know, there's a player now who has finally admitted to cheating. And then there is a number of senior players who say, cheating. We've watched it. And some guys, you know, have no problem cheating. Do a little foot wedge here, a little foot wedge there, and don't think anything of it. This is disturbing, to put it mildly.
Well, and it's something that sadly, more money always brings more trouble, you know. And there's going to be more motivation for players to do things like that. There has always been some degree of cheating out there, but golf still remains the only sport where players don't brag about cheating. You know, in every other sport, if they get away with a foul or they get away with something or they pretend they got hit by a pitch in baseball when they didn't really. In every other sport, that's considered being smart, that you got away with something. And golf's the only place where there is no real claim to fame because you cheated. It's still the scarlet letter in the game.
Wow.
It's the worst word that you can be called.
You know, you just made me feel better.
Thank you,
Ron Zyrak, for being in the clubhouse with me. Really appreciate
Always
your time.
Always a pleasure, Danielle.
Thank you.
Talk to you down the road, my
okay.
friend.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All right. Thank you to Aloha Power Equipment. And their new megastore is right next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Ivile. And no, you won't be in some crazy line trying to get into Costco. It's way before that crazy line starts. So we put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. It's hurricane season. Prepare to be ready, and they've got this fabulous end of July sale going on right now. Go down to Aloha Power Equipment, their new mega store in Ivile on Alakava or in Waipahu. MD Restoration, flood from the inside or out. Flood or fire disaster in your life? You need help immediately. MD Restoration's on it. They're licensed contractors too. They can do the cleanup and repair. 528-3434. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful look, maximum security, quiet. It's your first safety zone. You know that feeling when you let the garage door down and it's quiet and you know that everything is in its place. That's Rainer Garage Doors, 676-3667. We're very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA, and you heard it today. For one of the great PGAs, it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of love of the game, and it takes a lot of humility if you don't pass your PAT to become a PGA. You got to just persevere and go back out there and do it some more. And they want to share their knowledge with you. I mean, that's one of the greatest things. They're like teachers. You know, when teachers teach, you know what I'm talking about. CyPack for cybersecurity for your company, your organization. CyPack, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere. 861-9595 online, CyPack.com. Check them out. And if you have no idea what to give a great friend who seems to have everything, give them a Poipu Bay gift certificate. It'll really wow them. I promise you, it's the home of the Grand Slam of golf for years. We watched Tiger play there at Poipu Bay. That's Kauai's South Shore gem. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.